Well, good morning. So good to see you all. First and foremost, what about that kids' choir? Amazing, wasn't it? We got some future American Idol contestants right here at Lycoming Valley Baptist Church. It's so good to see you. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. We're here to worship our risen, living Savior. He is alive, and because of that, we have hope. We have the promise of eternal life, not based in our strength or anything we have done, but in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so how can we not gather every Sunday and worship our living hope? Well, this morning is no ordinary Sunday. Yes, it's Palm Sunday, but it's also what we call around here Missions Sunday. One Sunday a quarter, we set aside the whole day to focus on missions. And that's because as a church, we've been commanded to go into all the world and to make, mature, and to multiply disciples both in our backyard and around the world. It's called the Great What? The Great Commission, but sadly for some churches, it's become the Great Omission. You see that this isn't a suggestion. This is a command. We're to go. As we go, to be proclaiming our living hope. And so to help us be a church that's always mission-minded, we have Mission Sunday. And each time we have one of these wonderful Sundays, we bring in some of our missionaries. And this morning, we have two of our missionaries here. And they're each going to share briefly about their ministry, what God is doing. And then our second missionary is going to give us a challenge from God's word. This morning, we have Brian and Rachel Monti here from iTech. We're so glad to have them. We've been supporting them now for many years. And then we also have Bill and Marianne Kennedy from Child Evangelism Fellowship. And they're new to us. We brought them on right before COVID. And so we haven't been able to have them in, and so we're so excited to have all of them here this morning. And so I'm not going to steal under their thunder. I'm just going to give them the rest of our time. So Brian's going to come first and just share a little bit about iTech and how we can better partner with him and that ministry. And then Bill and Marianne are going to share a little bit about what God's doing in and through them. And then he's going to challenge us from God's word. Brian?
Can we use one of these too? Awesome. Yeah, that kids choir. My word, my hat. You know, every time I see a kids choir like that, I think, man, there's some parents out there that have been listening to that on repeat for weeks. So my hat's off to you guys. welcome. No, thank you for welcoming us. The Montis, I'm Brian. This is Rachel, and this is the Montis Unrehearsed. We are going to be just as surprised as you are at how this turns out. We have no idea what we're talking about here. We are missionaries, as Pastor Tim said, with iTech. And as we go on, we'll explain a little bit more how this is progressing and the different hats that we're putting on at this time. If you're not familiar at all with iTech, iTech focuses on solar for missions. Their slogan is Powering Missions Worldwide. And that is our goal, is to help ministries, help missionaries, just to have the power that they need to do. I want to focus on that Christian run, because that is part of what iTech, they have a criteria. Like, we're not a humanitarian aid organization. We make that very clear. If you're a humanitarian program, you know what? There's other organizations that can help you. We have Bible believing organizations out there that are proclaiming Christ and changing lives, whether it's through a hospital or a university or something like that. And that is iTech's focus, is how can we help them do it better. The last 2 years, of course, like everything, has been really crazy. And we haven't been able to go as many places. In fact, in 2020, we had plans, and all of a sudden, all of our trips just fell through. And then we thought, well, maybe 21. And then, we got to go on a couple of them, but not nearly as many as we had hoped. And it's looking like things are opening up. We're shipping stuff for Liberia this year, so that's going to happen. We've got Burundi, that's going to happen again. We've got a possible in Congo. We've got Haiti. We've got Jamaica. We've got Texas, we've got Florida. We've got projects that we're not even sure how any of it's going to happen, if it's going to happen this year, if we have any time, if we have any people available or anything. But God's opening doors and things are happening. Where do I want to go with this? Okay, so I told you, I'm like, we're like way out of practice out of all of this. Okay. And this is what I want to focus on. Not all missions is globally, is it? I mean, we're right here right now, and what's our ministry right here? And I'm going to turn it over to my wife because she talks better than I do anyway.
Well, actually, he's missing one point.
Just one point.
An ITECher. He's actually going to Alaska this coming week.
Well, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's my segue.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, so you might be wondering what I'm doing as the wife of an ITECher, because I don't do solar. I don't fix things. I really do just take care of the family, and there's not a Justin there, is there, gals? It's a lot. I'm a homeschool mom and just involved in the community in our church. I'm on the mission board and one of the teen leaders in the youth group. But recently, God has really put it on my heart to get ready for when my kids leave the nest. Part of that is me being helping out with the teen youth group, because when the kids do fly, I don't just want to be like standing around thinking, well, now what? Because they're very much a part of my life. And so I was looking into, you know, what can I contribute, and how God has gifted me. And so I've been looking into becoming a chaplain, and it has been quite a journey to find out, you know, where can I become a chaplain? Who can I go through? What does it even look like? A lot of closed doors, like because of COVID, so many of the trainings have been closed. And so I found one, IFOC, International Fellowship of Chaplains. They do their chaplaincy training online. And so I was able to do 40 hours of training. Brian makes fun of me. I think I did it in 2 days. I was so excited. So anyways, I actually am ordained as a chaplain now. They have two ways you can do it. You can be ordained or you can get a license. But an ordination is if you feel like you have a calling on your life. And I feel like I've been a chaplain my whole life. I just never had a name to it. I've always been that person people come and find to listen. It's a ministry of presence. And as the world is, man, it's heating up, isn't it? Like how many tornadoes, how many, like the hurricanes and the, just the natural disasters around the world, the wars. I just was like, God, how can I be prepared? How can I be ready to give a word in season? So in Colossians 4, I'm going to bring my glasses.
I know I'm getting older.
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So actually, I'd like to put a plug out there for chaplaincy. If any of you at all, no matter where you work, honestly, if God has just put a burden on your heart to be that person that someone can come to, it's a lot less intimidating for someone to go find a chaplain to talk to than maybe walk through church doors. It really is an amazing opportunity to meet the world where they're at, and to do it in a way that might not be as intimidating. To find somebody who has a deep faith, that can lead them to the Lord through just a very quiet way. Anyways, if you'd like to talk to me afterwards, I'd love to talk with you about the chaplaincy and about the doors that's going to open. And I know God does things quietly. He likes to whisper to us. I know in my life, I don't think I'm, you know, going to be the streamers and the balloons and I'm a chaplain, you know. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to come quietly. God's going to bring ministry slowly to my life. But I'd like to be, hopefully, have a chaplaincy presence in the homeschool community through our farm as we have people come for, you know, art classes or whatever, just to be that ministry of presence, that person that can listen. And so that's what I have been up to. We have a beautiful farm. If you have kids that you'd like to come meet alpacas, we'd love to have you come and share our place. God's just blessed us beyond what I can imagine. When we came back from Papua New Guinea with 8 bags, I had no idea where he was going to bring us. And so the fact that he has given us iTech and this, you know, so many ministries that he's made available to us, I praise him for finding us useful.
So, okay, so, you know, we don't do vacations well. I shouldn't say we. I don't do vacations well.
I don't think we do vacations.
We don't do vacations. No. I just kind of have to be busy. I don't know. I have to be doing something. And so these last 2 years have been really hard on me. And because it's hard on me, it's hard on my wife, because she's like, you're like this caged lion in the house. Like, you just need to go away somewhere.
In a good way. In a good way.
Oh, yeah. In love. Know. In love, she says that to me.
There's got to be a trip somewhere.
There's got to be somewhere you can go. So not that nothing's been happening at iTech. That's not what I'm saying. But these 2 years have really showed us that, okay, God hasn't changed. The needs haven't changed. If anything, the needs have gotten greater. So what are we doing actively to find ways to minister, to find ways to be a part of reaching people, find ways of just helping people? How are we doing that? And I would encourage you, if you're not looking for that every day, I would challenge you to do that. You know, take your day and say, okay, you know what? Do I need to change? I don't know. Do I need to look for a counseling degree or a something? I don't know. But how can I change what it is that I'm doing to do it better? And I had a guy tell me once, you know, if you go through a day and don't learn something new, then it was a wasted day. I kind of agree. You know what? We need to be active in doing that. And so these 2 years of kind of waiting have actually opened doors for me. And in the fall, last fall, I became a member of Samaritan's Purse with the DART program. Everybody's familiar with Samaritan's Purse? Have you ever heard of the DART program? Okay, Disaster Assistance Relief Team. That is the first responders of Samaritan's Purse. So whenever there's a disaster, whenever there's, you know, we're the boots on the ground. We're the first ones to show up. We're the ones that go and set up the hospital.
We had friends in Israel. They were talking to their dad, who's our pastor, and he's like, man, these are the guys that everyone else is evacuating, and Samaritan's Purse is going in. They're crazy.
That's the DART team. yeah, so that's us. And so I heard crazy, and I said, yep. And so that's been super, super cool. I have not been, I'm still in the training process, so they haven't deployed me yet, but I'm still waiting.
Well,
on the
no,
crazy.
You did. You went to Operation Christmas Child.
I'm getting to that too.
He got to move boxes.
I did. I got to move. No. So I'm kidding. So I told you this is totally unrehearsed. Part of what I would ask for prayer for is so this week, either Thursday or Friday, I'm driving to Alaska with a heavy piece of equipment that we're hoping it'll make it. Should be 5 days. I have my flight back into Harrisburg. I arrive into Harrisburg on the 23rd.
And the reason he needs prayer is I've never seen him take a road trip where they don't break down.
So encouraging.
He's so, like, we're going to do it in 4 days. I'm like, yeah, sure you are.
I mean, it's possible. I fly back on the 23rd, and then the 24th, I fly back out of Harrisburg to go down to North Carolina for more training on how to set up the Samaritan's Purse Hospital.
Which is why we really need your prayer.
Yeah, so, like, there's a lot of pieces that have to fall into place perfectly. So I would ask for prayer for that. But so you're familiar with Samaritan's Purse. Are you familiar with Operation Christmas Child? The shoe boxes. Okay. Do you guys do the shoe boxes? Okay, awesome. How many have packed a shoebox? I want to see hands. Okay.
Nice.
I have never once packed a shoebox. Never. Okay, but, and here's where I want to put another plug in for. I would encourage you not to just pack a shoebox. I would encourage you to take the time, take a day off work, you know, whatever it takes, to go down to Baltimore and volunteer at the center down there.
It's not a long drive. It's an easy 3 hours, and it is crazy amazing to be part of that.
So just out of the Baltimore processing center, they did over 600,000 shoe boxes.
My boys went down there for a day this past year, and they had such a good time. We stayed for another day. They were like, we have to be part of this, Mom. We've got to go back.
Yeah, and that's a 14 and a 16-year-old, so that says a lot. And for me, it was always, you know, like, I think it's great. I think it's great that we need to, you know, put a smile on kids' faces, give them a good Christmas, give them an opportunity to hear about Christ. Absolutely, 100%, I'm on board. But it goes way beyond that. Like, it just doesn't, it's... Honestly, I have to question every year whether or not my kids get Christmas presents. So for me to pack a shoebox and give to somebody else, I'm like, no, thanks. But here's where it gets really cool, okay? And if you want to impress me, don't give me stats. I mean, I could give you stats. If you want to know stats, go to Samaritan's website, and they had a budget last year of over $1 billion, which just blows my mind. I was down there training, and they were talking about, they were giving stats. It was the end of the year follow-up and all of that, and they knew how many rolls of toilet paper Samaritan's Purse used last year. Like, that's how detailed they are. If you want to know stats, go on their website. You can find out all that stuff. Here's what impresses me. It's the stories that come back, okay? And this is why I say it's not just about a Christmas present or a smile on a kid's face. It really does. It goes so much further than that. So in Africa, and I love the stories that you can't actually name the place, you know, because it's top secret. Nobody's supposed to know about it. So there's a town in a country in Africa. We'll just say that. And there's a road that goes right down through the middle of the town. On one side is all the Muslims, and on the other side is all the Christians and everybody else. Okay? There's nothing that happens in between. Like, it's totally segregated. And Samaritan's Purse comes in, and they say, you know what? We're going to hand out shoeboxes, and we're going to do it on the road. And we're going to invite both sides. And that's what they did. Here's what I just, every time it gives me goosebumps, okay? The leader of the Muslim group comes to the Samaritan's leader, or to the Christian group, and said, nobody in the Muslim group has ever done this. I am donating land on the Muslim side of the road, and I want a church built on our side. Guys, it's not about a shoebox at that point. It really isn't. And, you know, that to me is where I'm like, yeah, okay. 600,000 shoeboxes, that's great. 1 million shoeboxes total this year. Fantastic. But it's stories like that. It's stories like in another Middle East country where they're not supposed to be. You know, ISIS is ruling over there, and they said, they actually went to the ISIS leader and said, hey, we'd like to bring shoeboxes to your kids. You know what he said? He goes over, he gets on his phone, comes back later and says, I'm glad you came today. We were actually going to come raid you tomorrow. Guys, it is not about shoeboxes at that point. that's where lives are changed, and that's where I'm like, sign me up. That's what we need to be doing. And there's a local opportunity. You can take a day of your summer or your fall, probably middle of hunting season. But
well, it starts the Friday. Black Friday.
Black Friday starts.
And then it goes on for like 3 weeks. So you have time to volunteer.
But go on the website, look it up, find out a way that you can be a part of that. Put a team together, have a whole bunch of you go down. I'm telling you, it is a blast.
It's a whole lot of cheering. Yep. It's a lot of fun.
So anyway, do we need to cover anything else? I guess that's it. Guys,
yeah, just pray
so
for
much.
Us. Pray for his trip. Be nice if he didn't break down.
I think that's it.
Thank you.
Good morning. Ooh, that's nice and loud. Well, it's good to be here. As Pastor Tim was saying, that when your church started to support our ministry, we had COVID, and finally, after a couple of years, we're able to come here. So I was looking forward to that. Always one of the most enjoyable parts about coming into a new church is when you come in, you're able to see a number of people that you know, and get to visit with them. So that's always a blessing. I always look forward to it. It's always just so fun to be with another group of believers and know that throughout the county that you have, you know, a number of churches coming together and worshiping God, and that we are all linked together through Christ. And so it doesn't matter if, you know, you're in another church at the other end of the county. I mean, it's a group of believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so when you walk in the door, you're able to visit with those other brothers and sisters. So the Montys, we go back. I'm the director of Child Evangelism Fellowship, first of all. My wife is sitting back there, and I've been the director now for 23 years. And I don't know how many years ago it was, we were having a club at the Montys in Saladesburg, and we had it there many years, and then they went to Papua New Guinea, and we lost contact a little bit, and then it's good to hear that they're back, and we're already talking, maybe getting something going a little bit, and so it's pretty awesome. I'll wait to embarrass Jesse and Matt a little bit. Those of you who know Jesse and Matt, they were summer missionaries for us a number of years ago. And matter of fact, I know we have a picture of Matt in the back on one of our boards, and I think we have a picture of Jesse. So it's pretty awesome to come here and see that. So I look around and I see a number of people that I know. The clicker, where is, oh, excuse me, technology here. So anyways, coming in and being able to share our ministry is a blessing. Child evangelism is a multifaceted ministry. Pastor Tim got a hold of me this last week, and we were just talking about some things, and he shared his heart with me that one of the reasons that they decided to start supporting our ministry is because a number of the ministries that you were supporting were, you know, ministries that were doing things outside of the country. And he has a vision to bring, you know, be supporting ministries that are reaching out here locally and that. And so I was blessed to hear that. And so as I share a little bit and familiarize you with Child Evangelism Fellowship, I just want to share two parts of our ministry. But first of all, before I do that, how many of you have actually heard of the ministry Child Evangelism Fellowship? Oh, wow, great, good. So for many of you, it's familiar. For a number of you, it's an unfamiliar ministry. Well, first off, and I'm dyslexic, so I hope I get these buttons right. Child Evangelism Fellowship, two parts of our ministry that I'm just excited to share with you. If you don't know about our ministry, we are a ministry dedicated to reaching boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we literally have a working relationship with every single school district in Lycoming County. Matter of fact, through the last several years, we have been in every single elementary school, except for one, in Lycoming County. And we go into those schools and do a 1 to 1.5 hour Bible club in the school after school. And it is just an amazing ministry. Most people don't know that you can do that. We go in and we take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the schools. That one school that we haven't been in, we're making plans to actually get into it this year before the school year is up. So when that is done, when we get that club in that school, we will have been in every single elementary school in Lycoming County. Now, COVID has affected businesses, ministries, and it has affected our ministry also. But we're so blessed. Child Evangelism Fellowship has doubled in our size just in the last year with our staff. So we're really excited about that. I'm going to share a little bit with that about that. And a little later on, I'm actually going to do a demonstration. My challenge is actually going to be a CEF lesson that we teach in these after-school clubs and in these five-day clubs. So this is my beautiful wife, Mary Ann. I've been in the ministry 23 years. She's been in the ministry over 40 years. So now that's hard to imagine, being that she's only 41 years old. She just had her birthday. Actually, that's not true. If you look at the pictures, you might believe that. So here you can see her teaching. This is actually at Hepburn Elementary School. And I got to tell you, when we first tried to get into this school, there was a principal in the school that was an atheist, and he wasn't going to let us come in. And by law, we could be in that school because they were having Boy Scouts and the YMCA, but we started praying. And there was a number of Christian teachers in that school. And they were actually having a Bible club or a Bible study after school in the school, and they would pray that CEF would be able to get in. The next year, that principal was gone. A new principal came in, and guess what? He was a Christian. And he was like, oh, man, yeah, we'd love to have you in. So we made flyers, put them out, and 85 children showed up for that club. Now, that might sound great to you, but we were preparing for about 10, 15 kids, and 85. It was like, oh, what do we do? But what an incredible opportunity. Through the years, we've gone up and down with numbers. The Williamsport School District anymore does not allow us to pass out invitations, so it's a little more challenging. But we average about 30 kids in this club. This picture here, this is an older picture, but this is dear to my heart. And I just want to share with you a little bit about what's going on here. As you see, there's a little boy praying. He's not a little boy anymore. But this boy came to club, and he was really well-behaved, and you could tell he came from good family. And we just thought off the top that he was a Christian. And club went on and everything. And then one day he raised his hands, and he wanted to pray. And, you know, you could just tell that he loved the Lord. And so he came up and he prayed, and every day, every week that we had club, he would want to raise his hand and ask if he could lead the prayer, and he did. And it was just, you know, as a leader, just to sit and listen to a child pray that truly loved the Lord. And then one day he invited us to go to his baptism at his church, and we went. And he was, at this time, he was about 10 years old. And he shared his testimony in front of a whole congregation. I was blown away by that. And in his testimony, he shared how he accepted Jesus as his Savior during that club. And it just really was, you know, moved me. But to week after week to watch these children, not just him, grow in the Lord and be discipled in God's word, it's just incredible. So with the after-school clubs, we right now, we're not able to get into all the schools because of COVID, but we are right now preparing for next year when the fall starts, that we're going to be able to be into every single elementary school in the county. Now, where you come in is Mary Ann and I can only teach one club, and we're paid staff. Most of this ministry is run by volunteers. Well, it's run by CEF, by Mary Ann and I, but the people who are actually going into the schools and teaching are you, the volunteers. So we need volunteer teachers and helpers. We provide the materials. One of the people that we just hired on this year is actually a teacher trainer. And so we have a number of churches in the area that they see the need for this, and they'll adopt a school, and they'll run the whole program and everything with the teachers and the volunteers. And it's 1 hour a week, 1.5 hours a week. Of course, you have your prep time and everything. But this just isn't for women. We have a number of men that are actually teaching clubs throughout the county. We've had police officers, we've had teachers that have come in and actually taught the clubs. And I'm just going to say something to you men out there. There's something special about having a man in a club. First of all, the culture of the children has really changed in the 23 years I've been in ministry. It's just amazing. And when we put a man, not that women can't do discipline, but just having a man in there, in the club, really makes a difference. And we see clubs just go so much smoother oftentimes. But the other thing is that so many of these children don't have a man figure in their life. They don't have that. 23 years ago when we started doing clubs, it was probably about less than 10% of the children that were coming to club were coming from broken families. Most of the children that were coming into the clubs were coming from a traditional family setting. It's probably 5% now where kids are coming from a traditional family. That's 95% of the children that are coming to these clubs are coming from a broken family. And many of those kids don't have a father figure in their life. So I just wanted to share that with you. Another part of our ministry, excuse me, I'm fighting a cold. Another part of our ministry is the five-day clubs. How many of you here have had a five-day club, went to a five-day club, know what I'm talking about? Just raise your hand. Yeah, it's fewer. So a five-day club, in the summer, what we do is we hire youth, typically 16 to college age, we're hiring them to go out into the community to reach boys and girls during the summer when they're off from school. And a five-day club, an after-school club's once a week through the entire school year. But a five-day club is every day for 5 days. It's a one-hour club to a one-and-a-half-hour club. People will open up their homes, their backyards, and invite the children in their neighborhood. Then CEF will bring a team of trained teachers to your backyard and do a one-hour Bible club that has a Bible lesson, a missionary story, memory verse, songs, review game. It's just a fun time for the kids, snack time. Usually the hostess will have the snacks and that. And then we come in and we're able to just teach those children about the incredible love that God has for them, the message of salvation. So I look around the room and I see people who are financial supporters. I see you're young, but it was a while ago that you were summer missionaries. Older summer missionaries. And what's interesting with all these volunteers, the after-school club teachers, the helpers, all the summer missionaries, in the 23 years that Mary Ann and I have been the directors, praise God for all the volunteers, we've been able to reach nearly 30,000 children right here in Lycoming County. That just blows my mind, because when you look at our just yearly stats, it doesn't look like we're reaching many children. But over the course of, you know, this time, we've been able to reach nearly 30,000 children with the gospel. We have seen children's lives change, where children have come to know Christ as Savior, and then they've actually brought their parents to a club, and their mom or dad will get saved at a club, and it changes the family. It is amazing. One of the things that's changed with Child Evangelism Fellowship because of our culture and people being fearful to go to a place that they don't know, in the summers, we used to just do ministries that were in backyard clubs. Now, we still do people's backyards, but we're also doing daycares. And so daycares is an incredible opportunity. So many children nowadays aren't at home during the summer. When I grew up, I was, you know, when school was out, I was at home. But many of them are going to daycare. So we're working with a lot of daycare facilities in the county, and we're actually going in and doing these clubs in these daycares. And I'd just like to share one story with you that happened last year. It was on one of our last days of ministry, and it was a Wednesday. And one of the things that you'll notice when you're doing five-day clubs is that when you're teaching God's word, these kids are hearing it. And we know that God's word does not go out void. And so they're hearing that word, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening. But typically by Wednesday, God's word has been working in their heart. And typically Wednesday and Thursday is a day where God's word has broken their heart, and they make decisions to trust Jesus as their Savior. And this Wednesday that I'm talking about, we were at a daycare facility, and we actually had two clubs going on at one time. We had the preschoolers, and then we had the elementary school. And Mary Ann was in the preschool group, and I was in the, I think it was up to sixth grade. So it was elementary, started, I think, at second grade and to sixth grade. And I was just there as support. I was there praying and for the group. And at almost the exact same time, so we have two different clubs going on in two different areas. This is how God works. As the teacher was teaching the preschool group and sharing how God loved them so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and that all that you need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus, there was a little child there that just realized, I believe, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior right now. And he stopped the club and he said to the teacher, I want to believe in Jesus right now. Stop the club. And so the teacher stopped, led that little child to the Lord, and then went on with their teaching. And it was just, there's more to this whole story, but I just wanted to share that with you, because at the very same time, in the elementary group, as the teacher was teaching and was giving an invitation, five or six hands went up for children to accept Jesus as their Savior. And I was standing right beside the leader, who was about 35 years old, and she looked over at me and she said, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. And so as he was leading all these children and people to the Lord, I was able to afterwards talk to her, and she just shared with me in her heart. She said, for the first time, I've been able to believe and trust Jesus as my Savior. So, you know, it's just an incredible experience. And as I take some time here to just do a demonstration, I'm going to do a quick demonstration of a lesson that we're going to be doing all summer long. I'd like to encourage you to, you know, just be praying for our ministry. We need lots of prayer. One of the things that we really need a lot of prayer about right now is my wife has not been healthy. She's been sick for several months now, and she is getting better. It's not a life-threatening sickness or anything, just something she's really struggling with. We are really behind on hiring our summer help. So I would say to any teenager from the age of 16 to college, you know, if you love the Lord Jesus and you want to do something with your life, there's nothing better than you can do with your summer than working for Child Evangelism Fellowship. Matter of fact, now to embarrass Jesse and Matt, I don't know. Do you know how many years ago it was that you were summer missionaries? 12. I do know this. I have been praying for my second generation of summer missionaries, and they're next up on the line. So where did you meet Matt? Oh, how about that? And where'd your sister meet her husband? So I'm just saying. I mean, hey. Moving on. That's a side benefit. But we do pay. What's really cool about our summer missionary program is that they go for a full week of training, and they learn how not only to do like a Bible story, but to take a Bible story and make it a Bible lesson that is an evangelistic lesson, to be able to just lead children to Christ. And then they are able to come back to the church and be able to help out in the church, and it really helps expand the ministry. Another thing that I will just say for the church, that when a church sponsors a school, and if it's a school that's fairly close, we've actually seen when a church gets involved with one of these after-school clubs, there are so many kids now that are unchurched. And it really is a good bridge for those kids to go from the after-school club and then get them into a church and grounded into a church. And then typically what happens after a year or two, that something might happen in the family, those parents will reach out to the church, and often, you know, the parents will start coming. We actually had one church that fully embraced a club at a school, and they had, I look out at this church, and you have a lot of youth, a lot of young, but this church had no Sunday school class, no children for a Sunday school class, and so many children started coming to that church from the after school club that they had a full Sunday school class in that church. So just as a side benefit. Okay, I need to keep moving on. I've already gone over time. So here's what I need you to do. This is going to be hard for some of you as I look out there. I'm going to do a Bible lesson that we're going to be teaching every single Wednesday. So what I need you all to do is become fifth and sixth graders. Can you do that for me? Okay, some of you I'm looking out there and thinking that's going to be a big leap. So you can be middle schoolers. This is actually a good enough, this lesson's good for middle schoolers. So this is what we'll be teaching all summer long. So for me to preface that, pretend, okay, you're pretending, that you are coming to club on a Wednesday, because I'm going to actually be referring back to Monday and Tuesday. Okay, I know you weren't here Monday and Tuesday. We're pretending. Just want to get that all clear. Marianne says I don't communicate well. I didn't want you to think I was crazy when I was saying Monday and Tuesday. So, without any more ado, you're now all back in elementary school or middle school if you need to be there. So, this story that we're going to be hearing about, it takes place in Genesis. And Genesis is the very first book in the Bible. And so it actually takes place in chapter 6. So what you need to know first, though, is in chapter 1 of Genesis, we learn about God and who God is. And he is perfect and holy, and he's creator over the entire universe. So in the first couple of chapters, we hear about God creating everything that's ever been created. There wasn't anything else happening other than God creating the entire world. And then he created people. And those two people that he created that we read about in the Bible was Adam and Eve. And we learn about how Adam and Eve lived in a special place. It was a beautiful garden, and they could sit and talk to God. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was beautiful. But something terrible happened. We talked about that yesterday and Monday. We talked about sin, and you learned that sin is anything that you think, say, or do that does not please God. And Adam and Eve were the first people to sin. And when they sinned, that relationship that they had with God was broken completely. Matter of fact, God threw them out of the garden. And then we read about their family and how sin devastated their family. And then we go on to read in chapter 6 about how the world had just been populated by people, and every thought, every desire of people was evil. And as you see in this picture, they're hitting, maybe they're stealing. God looked down on the world, and it says that he was sad. And the reason that he was sad was that people were constantly sinning. They never thought of God. They completely forgot about God. And we know from yesterday in our teaching, when you were here listening, that sin separates us from God. And we read from the Bible that the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, it's no different today than back in those days. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we're full of sin. Nothing that you can do is good enough to pay the punishment for sin. And that punishment is death, and that punishment is separation from God. You can't have a relationship with God. And these people were fighting, they were bickering, they were stealing, and every day, in the Bible it says, every day they were thinking of more and new evil things. And God looked down on the world, and he decided that he was going to destroy the whole world. Every living creature, every person, anything that crawled across the ground, he was going to destroy it. And as he looked around, he saw one man. One man in the Bible, it said that man did not forget God. Matter of fact, I'm going to read to you from the Bible. And it says this: Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God spoke to Noah, and he said, Noah, I'm going to tell you my plan. I'm going to destroy the whole world, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a large boat, an ark. And it's going to be large. It's going to be about 150 yards long. And you're going to build it so long, and you're going to build it so high. And I want you to do that. And you and your family, your sons, their wives, your wife, you're all going to go in this ark, and you're going to be saved from this destruction. You know, boys and girls, back in Noah's time, he was going to destroy the whole earth. But God says for us, if we don't trust Jesus as our Savior, that sin, because of the sin, we are completely separated from him. But he sent a way that we don't have to be scared about this destruction that God tells us about in our own lives. So Noah, he started building. You can hear the hammers pounding, the saws sawing, and this boat kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. This didn't happen overnight. He didn't have the power tools that we have now. If I want to build something, I pull my DeWalt's out. I have a cordless saw and hammer, a drill. I have all kinds of tools, but they didn't have that. And so day after day, year after year, decade after decade, a decade is 10 years, probably close to 30 years he built this. And as you can see here, what's going on? They're making fun of him. They're teasing him. You know, Noah believed God. God spoke to him and he obeyed. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, I guarantee you, people are going to make fun of you. Maybe your best friend, they're going to want you to do something that you know you're not supposed to do. Maybe it could be something like watching a movie that your parents told you not to watch. Maybe it's going to be picking on somebody with them and bullying them. Maybe it's going to be looking at something on the internet that you know you're not supposed to. And yesterday we learned, or I think it was Monday, we learned that when we trust Jesus as our Savior, he doesn't just let us to our own devices. He says that he gives us the Holy Spirit as a helper. He also will give us good Christian friends and people in our lives that we can go talk to. But his Holy Spirit will be our helper. And Noah, they were making fun of him. They were calling him crazy. They were telling him, it's never rained like that. You're crazy. And all that he could do was point to God and said, God loves you so much. He told those people for years and decades that sure destruction was coming, and that if they would only believe enough to get on the ark, they would be saved. You know, this picture of the ark, boys and girls, is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Sure, destruction is coming. We don't know when. But God has provided a way. You can't see it right now, but there's a door. There's one door. There's one way in to that ark. And that one way in was to have enough faith in what Noah was saying to be true, that sure destruction was coming, to walk onto that ark. But one day, when Noah, this is going to blow your mind, when Noah was 600 years old. Now, some of you guys probably think I'm 400 years old, but he was 600 years old. All the hammering stopped, all the sawing stopped, the ark was complete, and then God sent the animals. I'm sure you've heard about this. This is pretty cool. God sent two of each animal, and some he sent seven of each animal, and they got into the ark. Now, you may say to me, Mr. Bill, how in the world could that many animals fit on an ark? I don't know that I believe that. You know, somebody told me once, this picture here shows that they're all adults. Just something for you to think about. They don't have to be full grown. It makes a lot more sense in my head to think that these were small animals, less feed, less, just less space. But here's what I can tell you. In the Bible, it says with man, it is impossible. But with God, it's possible. Just the fact that God was sending all the animals on earth to be saved from this flood, that in and of itself is a miracle. And they went in. And as soon as they got in, they were all inside. The door was shut. Now, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. It was done. It was over. And then the clouds came. And it says in the Bible that the waters came up out of the ground and the skies opened up. And I'm not going to take time today to read to you how God created the earth, but there was water up here and there was water under the earth. And it hadn't rained yet. It was a hyperbolic system, and I'm not going to go into that either. But so you have water up here. You look up into the sky and you're looking into water. And that water came down. And for 40 days and 40 nights, it just rained and water came up and the ark would have started to shake. Now, I don't know about you, but even if I was in the ark, that sounds pretty scary to me. And so 40 days and 40 nights, it rained, but they were safe. Boys and girls, I'm telling you that if you know Jesus as your Savior, there's going to be times that you're going to be scared. You're going to be petrified. You're going to think God isn't with you. But I can tell you, I have been a Christian for 35 years, and God has never forsaken me once. He's always taken care of every need I've had. He will always take care of you. And remember that you're not by yourself. You can pray and ask God for help. You can go to other Christians and talk to them. But he sent his Holy Spirit as a helper. You just need to realize that you can't do it on your own and trust God and ask God for help. And he will provide help. But all those people that didn't believe, they were destroyed. And that's so sad. And it's even scary. You might be sitting there thinking, that's scary. It is scary. But the Bible says that he loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, for you. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We have a pastor sitting here, and the Bible says all have sinned. That means the pastor sinned. That means I've sinned. Everyone sinned. There's none perfect, not one. But Jesus came. Next week, I know you think this is crazy because it's summer, but next week we'll be celebrating Easter. What an incredible thing when Jesus went to the cross. The only perfect person went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You don't have to give money at a church. That's pretty cool. You don't have to go to church every single week. We do that because we love God. We give money because we love God. We do good things because we love God. We don't do those things to pay for our sin. Only Christ. Just like that ark, there was one way in. It was through that door, but it was the faith to get you through that door that saved you. And it's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. God loves you so much. It says in the Bible that Jesus came to give life, but not only life, abundant life. What's that mean? Well, for you guys, boys and girls, life is that first step. That's believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it just doesn't stop there. The abundant life is when we read His Word, when we obey His Word, we start to grow as a Christian. And we start to not do selfish things. We start to pray and ask God to direct our lives. And we pray for His will in our life. And we start stop doing what we want to do. And we start doing what God wants to do. And that's the abundant life. Well, after 40 days and after months, it quit raining. The waters went down. The ark came to a rest. The ground was dry. They left the ark. And when they came out, they praised God. When you go through a terrible time, I guarantee you, you're going to come through the other end of it. And I've gone through some horrible sicknesses. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And I don't want to go through it again. But it was the best thing that could have happened to me. It changed my life. It focused me to what God really wanted in my life. When we go through hard things, God's going to bring us through it. It's often not going to be the way we want it to. But when we get through that other side, we'll see how God was faithful. We should praise God. We should give God all the glory. It says last week, our memory verse was, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, give glory to God. So right now, we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes, put our hands together, no looking around. And if God has spoken to you today, if you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior before today, and God has spoken to your heart, and you know you've sinned, and you fall short of the glory of God, and you can't do it on your own, you don't have to. Christ did it. You can become a child of God today just because Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe He died for you. If you have never done that and you'd like to do that today, you can do that. You can tell God in your very own words. You can say, dear Jesus, I believe. Make me a child of God. And He will. Praise God. Boys and girls, if you're sitting here and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go through tough times. You are going to have hard times, but God is always going, He is always going to be there with you. You can know that when you're going through those times, that you can just call on God for help. He sent His Holy Spirit, the helper. He sent His Word for you to read and grow. There are churches that you can attend and grow as a Christian. Choose today to not only have life, being saved, but having that abundant life. Heavenly Father, right now, I just pray for everyone. I know in a group this size that there's a person here that has not trusted You as Savior. Lord, I pray that you would just help them to call out to you to realize how much you love them, that you don't desire destruction for them. And Lord, I pray for all those who have trusted you as their Savior, that you would just help them to focus their life on pleasing you for that abundant life. Now, I thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I've gone over time a little bit. I'm going to have the worship team come up. And afterwards, if you would like to talk to Marianne or I about possibly helping out at an after-school club, we need helpers, which don't do, yeah, I mean, the helpers aren't teaching typically, but they're there for crowd control. They're there for snacks, things like that. And then we need teachers, and we also need teens and college age. Hopefully God spoke to your heart today. I know I was running through things quickly. But if there's anybody here that would be interested in just finding out more information on our CYIA program, that would be awesome. We'll talk to you in the back.